Take your Bibles, if you would, Joshua chapter 3. We have four verses to finish up in chapter 3, and then we're going to try to do the first nine in chapter 4. Of course, chapter 3 is where they cross the Jordan River into the Promised Land. And then chapter 4 deals with a couple monuments that God told Joshua to set up to help people remember what he had done for them. We're going to start in verse 14 tonight and of chapter 3. And what I'd like to do is just read these four verses, 14, 15, 16, and 17, all at the same time. And then just mention a couple things about them. And this is just a very short, straightforward description of God parting the waters and the people going over. It says in verse 14, "And it came to pass when the people removed from their tents to pass over Jordan, and the priest bearing the Ark of the Covenant before the people, and as they that bear the Ark were come into Jordan, and the feet of the priest that bear the Ark were dipped in the brim of the water, for Jordan overfloweth all his banks all the time of harvest, that the waters which came down from above stood and rose up upon a heap, very far from the city Adam, that is beside Zarethan, and those that came down toward the sea of the plain, even the salt sea, failed and were cut off, and the people passed over right against Jericho. And the priests that bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground in the midst of Jordan, and all the Israelites passed over on dry ground until all the people were passed clean over Jordan." Just mention four things about these four verses. First of all, the river Jordan overfloweth its banks. You remember I told you that this river ran through a valley. And so to cross it, you had to come down, go across, and come up. And so when the river overflowed its banks, it began to fill up this valley. The harvest there that it was talking about in verse 15 when it says, "For Jordan overfloweth all his banks all the time of harvest," was the barley harvest that usually took place in the spring of the year. And so in the spring of the year, when it started to get warm, you had the snow melt, the snow melting on the mountains in Lebanon, and they ran down into this valley and began to fill up this river and raise this river over its banks. Now, God could have kept it cool that particular year and delayed the snow melt, so the river wouldn't have been so deep. He could have had his people cross at a different time of year. There were times of the year when the Jordan River got shallow. It wasn't. This was the time of year that it was the deepest time of year when it had the most water in it. And the fact that he had them cross it at this time just magnifies the power that God has. It emphasizes how good he was being to his people, and it's an example to every person of God that came after this event. It's an example and a lesson to us that says it doesn't matter what the obstacles or opposition is, our God is able. So let the rivers rise, let the storms rage, let the enemy multiply. God can divide any river. He can calm any storm. He can defeat any enemy. As people, different people in the Bible ask, is anything too hard for the Lord? No. Is his arm shortened, his hand shortened that he can't help? No. He is able. And it doesn't matter how big the obstacle, it doesn't matter how big the opposition, God can handle it. The second thing I want you to notice is that as soon as the feet of the priest were dipped in the brim of the water, the river stopped immediately. As soon as they dipped their feet in the river, the water stopped. I mean, it was like a wall of a dam coming down into the river. They just stopped. And the Bible says that the waters above stood and rose up and upon a heap. Now, if you stop and just think about this, if you could suddenly put a dam into a river, the waters would heap up for a while, but then they'd start to spread. And what the Bible says is they heaped up in a pile. I think that pile just kept getting bigger and bigger and bigger, because God wanted the people that were around where those waters were heaping up to be able to see it. And so this water just kept getting taller and taller and taller as the water flowed down the river. And he said the waters after where God stopped them and piled them up were cut off. And as the waters were cut off, the riverbed was revealed, and immediately God dried it out. It wasn't a matter of hours. It wasn't a matter of days. God dried it out, and the priest stood on dry, firm ground, and all the people passed over on dry, firm ground. Sometimes God works like that. Sometimes he works immediately. Sometimes he works over time. We talked about it last week. Well, wait, before I say that. Sometimes he works immediately. Sometimes he works over time. Regardless of the time frame, what God does is a miracle. It doesn't matter if it happens like that or if it happens over a period of time, it's still a miracle. We talked about it last week when I talked about the different stages or phases, whatever you want to say, of salvation. Justification, when we accept Christ and our sins are forgiven and paid for, that happens immediately. That's a miracle. We were sinners. We deserve separation from God. We deserve hell. But he saved us. That's a miracle. When we're glorified and when he gets ready to take us to heaven, that's going to be a miracle. That happens all at once. I mean, God just does it just like that. And remember, we talked about both last Wednesday night and Sunday night, the process in between those two, sanctification, where he is working on us to make us more like Christ. He's working on us to make us more fit for heaven. I was thinking about this afternoon. You know, we recognize salvation as a miracle, and we recognize glorification as a miracle, but do you know everything that he brings into our life that helps us sanctify, get sanctified, that's also a miracle as well? Do you ever stop and think about that? Everything that comes into our life that makes us, gives us an opportunity to be more like Jesus, gives us an opportunity to get more of the world out and more of Christ in, that's God working a miracle. Now, sometimes we don't recognize it as a miracle because it does happen over time. It happens a little bit at a time. But, you know, I can think of some people in this church, and I won't mention any names tonight, but I can think of some people in this church, if we could go back and look at them right when they got saved, and we can look at them now, and we could put a before and after picture up, we would say, what a miracle of God. Now, we don't say that because it didn't happen all at once. They changed a little bit at a time to get over here. But if we could put them side by side and look at the change, what a wonderful change in my life has been wrought. If we could look at the change, we'd say, oh, man, God sure worked in that person's life. God sure worked a miracle. So it doesn't matter on the time frame. It's still a miracle. I want you to notice it also says the people passed over right against Jericho. They didn't go down the river or up the river to get away from Jericho. They passed over the river right in front of Jericho. And by the way, Jericho was probably one of the most powerful, strongest cities that they would face. And not only was it a strong city, but the land around it was good. I mean, it was a good land. And I think God had them passed right over against Jericho for a couple reasons. He wanted them to see how good the land was that they were going to get. And then he wanted the people of Jericho to see they were coming. Remember what Rahab told the spies? Man, we were frightened when we heard that what God did for you at the Red Sea. Now they could see it. They could probably get up on the walls of Jericho, and they could probably see that water coming apart, and they could see that dry ground, and they could see the people as they began to pass over and say, oh, man, we're in trouble now. God's going to do it again. We heard about it before. Now we can see it with our eyes. And by the way, God still works the same way. He hasn't changed. if we his people will step out in faith, he will show us the goodness of his promises, and he will show our enemies, those that would stand against the cause of Christ, that they better watch out because he's coming. And then I want you to notice the fourth thing, that the priest stood in the middle of the Jordan while all the people passed over. They held the ark, which represented the presence and the power of God. And the power of God was not only able to divide that river, it was able to keep it divided till everybody passed over, till every single one. God not only has the power to save, he has the power to keep safe. And so, again, I say to us as Christians, why should we fret? Why should we worry? The same power that cleansed us from our sins is the same power that will supply all our needs. Same power. And by the way, I'll just remind you, God never does anything halfway. What he starts, he finishes. And I'll say some more about that in just a minute. All right, chapter 4 talks about two memorials or two monuments, two piles of stones, as it turns out to be, that God had Joshua instruct the people to set up so that they could remember what God did. Now again, remember, here's this valley. You have to come down the valley, cross the river, and then back up. Can you imagine the work and the job that it was for 2 million people to come down, cross over, and go up? Can you imagine moms and dads herding up all their kids down the valley, across the river, back up? All their animals, all their cattle, all their sheep, all their goats, the dogs, and they could have left the cats on the other side, but the dog, sorry, Peggy, but and Judy, the dogs and the cats, sorry about that, I shouldn't let that come out, the dogs and the cats, and whatever else they had. Can you imagine the work that went in to getting everybody down, over, and back up? And yet in the midst of all that work, in the midst of all that labor, God came to Joshua and said, now look, we're going to do something so these folks can remember what I've done. Because there's probably some folks that are going over on dry ground and they're just not aware of the miracle that I'm working. I mean, they're just sort of walking in a daze and they're following the person inside of them. They're probably not looking at the fact that they are crossing a river that's overflowing its banks and I've provided a path across. He says, I need to set up a reminder for them to remember. There's other people that saw it for what it was. Man, this is a miracle of God. I'll never forget this. I don't need a reminder. I'll never forget what God has done. But God knew even that those people with time would forget. So he said, even those that recognize it, I need to set up a reminder. And by the way, those people are not so different from us. Sometimes we walk through life and God's working miracles all around us and we don't recognize it. And other times we recognize and say, I'll never forget what God has done. But over time, we do. So he's given us a reminder, okay, that we can look at. But he wanted to give his people a couple of reminders. And so he says, Joshua, here's what I want you to do. After everybody's crossed over, and I'm going to let you read the first 9 verses when you get home. But he says, when everybody crosses over, I want you to pick out 12 men, one from every tribe. And I want you to have them go back and get a stone. Get the biggest one. And this doesn't say this, but I'm using my imagination. I think he told them, get the biggest one you can carry. Because you got to carry it on your shoulder, and you got to carry it to where we're going to camp tonight. And they were going to encamp in a place called Gilgal. He says, I want you to set up the pile of stones in the place that you camp tonight so that when your children see that pile of stones in the future and they ask the question, hey, Dad, hey, Mom, what's that pile of stones? That you can tell them, that's a reminder when we first came into the promised land how God split the river and let us go over on dry ground. And then Joshua said, not only do I want you to get a stone and carry it to where we camp tonight, but he says, I want you to get 12 other stones, and I think these were bigger yet, and I want you to set them up in the middle of the river, right where the priest stood that held the ark. And in my mind, I can just picture the men working together on these. They rolled big stones, and two or three of them picked up stones, and they piled them in a pile of rocks right in the middle of the river where the priest stood. So, I believe the pile was so high that when the water started flowing again, you could still see the top of the pile above the river. And that was there for the same reason, that when people came to the river, they could look at that pile of stones and they could see the mighty work that God had done. Joshua said, I want one man from every tribe. One man from every tribe. Because every tribe needs a man that can tell the story. Every tribe needs a man that can tell their kids and their grandkids how God worked. You know, in every family, there needs to be somebody that can stand up and in their family say, let me tell you how God has worked. You know, that's one reason I enjoy Brother Leonard's Sunday school lessons so much. He has a lot of stories from his family how God has worked. Every family needs a man like that that can stand up and say, this is how God has worked in my family. So I was thinking, and I'm almost out of time, but I was thinking, here's this pile of rocks in the middle of the Jordan River. And I was wondering, do you think that when Elijah and Elisha came to the Jordan River, Elijah was about to be taken into heaven, and they came to the Jordan River, I wonder if they could look over and see that pile of stones and be reminded that there's a God that split this river. He's the same God we have. And you remember Elijah took off his cloak and he smote the river and it divided and he and Elisha went over on dry ground. They got on the other side of the river and that fiery chariot came and took Elijah to heaven. Elisha came back to the river. I wonder if he could look over and see that pile of stones and say, God divided this river for the Israelites when they came into this land. I wonder if he'll divide it for me. And he took Elijah's cloak, the one that Elijah had dropped when he went up to heaven, smote the river, and the same God that divided the river for the Israelites divided again for Elisha. I wonder when Naaman came to the Jordan River, because Elisha had told him, hey, go dip yourself in the Jordan River and all this leprosy will be gone. I wonder if he could look over and see that pile of stones and ask somebody, hey, what's that pile of stones? And there was a Hebrew there that says, hey, let me tell you, that's a reminder that our God divided this river and we came into the promised land on dry ground. And I wonder if Naaman said to himself, man, if God can do that, then he can cure my leprosy. And he dipped himself in that river 7 times and his leprosy was cured. I wonder when David was fleeing from Absalom and he came to the Jordan River to cross it. God didn't split it for him, but I wonder if he saw that pile of stones and said, God divided this river for my people. I'm running from my son, but God's got enough power to bring me back and give him my kingdom back. And I wonder if when Jesus came to the Jordan River, about to start his public ministry, about to start the task that God had sent him to earth to do, and he came to the Jordan River to be baptized of John the Baptist, I wonder if he could look over and see that pile of stones and say to himself, I remember when we divided the river for our people. I remember years and years ago when they came to the Jordan River about to go into the promised land, how we divided that river for them. The same God. Now, this is Jesus in his human body, the same God that did that for his people will help me as I do the work that he has sent me to do. And then I wonder, last of all, that when we get ready to make the trip across the Jordan River, when we get ready to go into our promised land, the land of heaven, if God will let us look down to that old muddy Jordan River and let us see that pile of rocks that reminded his people we have a powerful, wonderful, great God. And as we see that pile of rocks sticking up out of that river, be reminded of the truth that David wrote of in Psalm 23. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. For thou art with me. What a wonderful God that we have. What a mighty God that we have. What a good God that we have. And we ought to leave this place tonight, just like Brother Darwin's saying, let's just praise the Lord. Just praise the Lord. Stand with me. We'll have a word of prayer. Be dismissed. Thank you for being here tonight.